checking 1 2. Are we on? Is this live? Is this? Are we really on the radio?
Yeah, we're.
This
we're
is like
goes
this is
live,
the first
actually.
Time I've ever been on the radio. This
it's
is so exciting.
It's your show.
I've hijacked a radio station.
Yeah, it's your show. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about hockey. Do you have
really?
Hockey? Do you have hockey in Phoenix?
Actually, it's very interesting. You mentioned
for a
that.
A couple more days at least.
Okay,
you know what? Lars is up on it. He totally knew exactly what to bring up.
Why don't you buy the team and
yeah,
end all the crap
money?
We're going yeah. through?
We actually already have bought the team. We're just keeping it a surprise. This is the big unveiling right now.
Really?
So we have a major surprise for you. Metallica has bought the team. The team is staying another 10 years, and everybody's happy.
Yes! Yeah.
There you go.
Brilliant!
Okay.
It's the Lars Coyotes!
The Phoenix Metallicas.
Right?
The Phoenix Metallicas. Yeah, that's not bad. You get used to it. I mean, every moniker always sounds weird the first time you say it.
Right.
The Phoenix Metallicas, well, NHL hockey in Arizona. There you go.
You've already got the hockey jerseys. We've seen the Metallica hockey jerseys.
Yes.
So
we're
good.
We're all, yep.
Okay.
It's authentic now. You've heard it here on the radio.
The voice you're hearing is Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Lars Ulrich.
Wow.
Drummer for Metallica. Let's just get this straight Lars, officially, you are a legend. Officially, you're
you
a legend.
You know the right things to say.
No, it's the truth.
Awesome. Listen, no, I don't get out of the house very often, and so this is one of the first interviews I've done all year, so we're off to a good start. It's Saturday afternoon. I woke up at home dealing with kids, dealing with, you know, dealing with all that stuff domestic at home at 7 in the morning. How rock and roll is that, waking up at 7 in the morning on a show day? You know, last time I was up at 7 in the morning on a show day, it was on for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? And now it's a
walk of shame the night before.
Exactly. So, you know, but now I'm here, and there's nothing but love out in the desert. It's all good.
It is magical out there right
magical.
Now, if I can use that word. When Anthrax was playing it, we walked out there, and it was insane. And we had to come back here, of course, because we want to talk to you. But do you have any good memories about Phoenix playing there over the last 30 years? I mean, anything specific that stands out that you
How
can
much
talk
time
about?
Do you have?
I have. Oh, and it's your show.
Okay. Well, we've done, obviously, we've done production rehearsals for the last two you know, arena tours in Phoenix, both in 04, it was in March of 04 for the St. Anger go-around, and then in October of 08 for the Death Magnetic go-around in two different buildings. It was what was it called, the America West building downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the new place outside, kind of out in the suburbs.
Jobbing.com Arena,
yeah,
where your hockey team plays.
There you go, the Phoenix Metallica.
Interesting, that's where it all started.
And so we spend actually a good deal of time in Phoenix because we're there for like a week. And there's nothing but love. And we've, you know, got good memories from back in 92 when we played the Phoenix International Speedway with Guns N' Roses out there in the desert in August. And
yeah, nice planning on your part.
Listen, I think that I think that was one of the shows I got moved because of Hetfield's pyrotechnic thing.
Yeah.
You know? But so that was cool, and there was a great party. I think there was the. Because Axl used to throw these great parties every night on that tour, and I think the theme that night was appropriately the Wild West. So it was a Wild West party with scantily clad cowgirls, and it was nothing but fun. And then, let me see, Phoenix, Bourbon Street?
No, that's been New Orleans.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
It was a ballet
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, Bourbon Street, right? That was back in the
fine
day.
Fine art.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah. No, I know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
no, that's in New Orleans. Oh, I forgot. No, there's a.
You might have forgot.
No, there's a fine establishment that we used to frequent back in the late 80s, early 90s called Bourbon Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of our favorites in America. let's see. We had a lot of late nights at the Ritz-Carlton. And what was the old Phoenix Veterans Coliseum?
Yeah.
Was that what it was
yeah.
where we played? In like the late 80s, it's
now, me and Paul are saying, yeah but we lived there nine months, both of us, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah. But we're like, yeah, I remember back when we saw
yeah, you guys. Why am I asking? Is there any of you guys? There's like 12 guys here in radio t-shirts. Anybody from Phoenix?
Hippie Down was.
Are you? Yeah.
Do you remember that? Is that what it was? Veterans Memorial?
It is. It's
yeah, Veterans.
That Arizona State Fair is.
Right. And there was also an outdoor joint called.
Dodge Theater?
No. Desert Sky
Pavilion.
But there was another place out there in the 80s that was basically known as, before they built the Desert Sky, there was a slab of concrete out in the middle of the desert.
That was out in the West Valley. It was like a place where they held rodeos and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
And
yeah.
I remember we played out there.
Up? No, I'm not making
that
up.
No, there was literally like before they built Desert Sky, because that was covered and all that. So, you know. But trust me, we've had a lot of fun in Phoenix over there, much more than you can say on a family themed radio show on a Saturday afternoon. Trust me.
So for those that don't know, you and your history with these bands, obviously we all know the Megadeth connection, but the people don't know, back in the beginning with Metallica, when they moved to the East Coast, didn't you guys like share a rehearsal studio with Anthrax, or you were in the same building, right?
Yes, Anthrax were the ones that were sort of greeting us when we
like hosted
came
you.
In, yes, came in green from the West Coast. Scott Ian, or Scott Rosenthal, I think was his name was at that time, Rosen something. They all lived out in Queens, and they were nice middle-class kids out there, and they were very, they took great care of us and got us, I think we went over, the place we were staying at, where we rehearsed, there was no running water where we lived and rehearsed, so we would go over to Scott Ian's house once a week and shower. And eat proper, home-cooked meals and stuff like that. So they were very gracious to us in the beginning. So we go back with Anthrax. I don't know if we go back longer with them than Slayer. Probably, yeah, because we were hanging with Anthrax earlier than we were hanging with Slayer.
Pretty cool. I said the same thing walking out here. Some of these guys you see around here, we got this whole crew out here. They're, super young. And I remember coming back, in fact, 20 years ago, almost to the day, you came to Cincinnati. And I'm like, in 10 seconds, I'm in a year and a half of life of Metallica, asking you, are you going to play Nothing Else Matters tonight?
Oh, when I went to the radio station there on the way to the gig.
Yeah, and you were in a big problem with, I don't know, the 12-string, have James making the work right for it. And I'm in there for like 10 seconds. It was almost 20 years to the day, because that was 1991 in Cincinnati.
It was March, not yet, March, April, 91, yeah.
Somewhere in there. And
I remember.
I look back now, and I have a mullet in that picture, by the way. I think you do too, actually.
We'll keep that our secret. But that's where we filmed, a bunch of the stuff that ended up in the Wherever I May Roam video.
Right.
Was filmed in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And we've always had a lot of fun in Cincinnati, I'm telling you.
It was great.
And I got one word for you, right? Covington.
I don't know about it anymore. I haven't been there a long time. I cleaned it up a little bit, I think. Yeah, better than I do at this point.
Yeah. The Bourbon Street of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah,
Cincinnati.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Okay. The strip bar, not the New Orleans.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, it's like so funny. That seems like it was 20 years and what you've all gone from there to here today. And like you said, it's just like it's still fun for us to talk to you, and it's still fun to be here. It's like going out watching Anthrax right now. I'm just getting all these flashbacks and stuff. It was awesome.
It was. Yeah, listen, it's been an incredible ride. So, I mean, if anything, today is just a celebration of what everybody's been through and the fact that we're all here, and some of us are even semi-coherent still. You know?
This is the portion of the interview where you have to do it. I got to ask the question, because you and I both know, and I'm sure every guy in the band has answered it, and you've answered it as well in every interview since. There is not going to be a U.S. Big Four tour at all, right? You're just doing these six shows this year, and then you're not going to do a tour, or are you in the future going to do a Big Four tour, U.S. tour, so people anywhere else can get a chance to see the show that everybody's seeing tonight?
Well, what defines a tour? I mean,
No,
I hate to get all Bill Clinton on you, but it's like it's...
Say 25 dates.
I would say that's pretty unlikely.
But let's
say at least in the foreseeable future, I think that this is something that we think is... this is something that we consider special to the point where it should definitely not be overdone. And so obviously there's a fine line where you want to try to get it to as many people as possible, but at some point it also can become just too much. I think that based on the success that we're having here, obviously we are looking at, honestly, I mean,
sure.
World exclusive, here it is. We're looking at doing something on the East Coast later this year. Logistically, it's not been as easy to put together as this thing, because this is an established, sort of piggybacking on the back of last weekend and of next weekend. But we've been trying for a little while since this thing blew up to try to come up with something on the East Coast, and that's not as easy because of everybody's schedule. I mean, like I said, you got four moving targets, and nobody sits around and waits for the Big Four to... Everybody kind of does their thing, so it becomes more trying to fit it into existing schedules. But we are looking at doing something on the East Coast later this year. A tour, that's not in the works right now. But listen, I mean, like I've heard myself say a lot talking about this Big Four thing. I mean, this is supposed to be fun. This is not supposed to be an obligation. It's not supposed to... There has to be an impulsive, fun element to this. I kind of like the fact that there's a little bit of chaos to it. I think it's healthy for this. This is not something that you want to be so polished that it becomes sterile and kind of loses its edge, if you know what I mean? So, but we are looking at something in the fall on the East Coast. There is your KD.
Are you really?
KD. What is that?
Exclusive. You're staring at my rack. What is that?
Well, it's your cord is hanging in the way, and
what,
I don't
really.
I don't
actually
want to say anything.
Us, Lars.
Okay,
really. It's his man boobs that affected
this. The
stomach region affected this whole region
this
right
whole
here.
Region right
my
here.
Fupa.
Can't
is
read it.
What is this, beat up on Lars Day? Jesus.
Like this is any different than any other time we sit and talk.
So we are looking to do something on the East Coast in the fall.
Cool.
We're doing, like I said, another half dozen in Europe this summer in new countries. But and listen, I mean, I would like to think that all four of these great bands have many great years ahead of them. So, you know, 5 years from now, who knows? But right now, you know, we also want to definitely get back to making another record. And you know, it's been a couple, 3 years now since Death Magnetic. And it's time to start thinking about another record. And so we're just trying to find the right balancing act here and on all this stuff, you know.
Sounds good. Sounds like everything's good in your life and everything, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Lars,
you yeah. in all the years we've dealt with you, you've always been classy. You guys have always done this thing first class. You didn't have to let everybody come down here. I mean, this is a huge, huge production.
Thank you.
In the summertime. You have always done it first class, and the guys in the band have always done it. So, again, props to you, and thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure, and we look forward to coming back to Phoenix and rehearsing for our next tour.
Do it.
Let us know when you're in town.
Absolutely.
We'll go to Bourbon Street.
How many plugs is he going to get
I'll
in
drive
for that,
over
that
there,
strip on
Street?
I tried to take it in the other direction.
I think you just got a pass for life.
Yeah, he's totally on the payroll.
Is it
now.
Still around?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go see it when you come. We'll see it when you come to town.
Do you want to get out of the house on a Saturday afternoon? You bop over. It's an hour flight. Stay at my house. I got a guest room with an extra long twin you can have for yourself.
Then we can talk about the old days in Covington.
It all comes full circle.
There you go.
Lars Ulrich.
Great to see you guys.
Lars. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you again.
Always, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. Thanks for the support. We will. Did you guys figure it all out?
Yeah.
Do you want me to press here?
I think we're going to throw it out if you want.
It's your technical expertise that got us through it, Lars. Thanks.
Peace.
93.3 KDKB live at the Big Four.